Going to turn to Luke chapter 6. Now, last week our text was taken from the book of Nehemiah, and the historical context was the rebuilding of the wall around Jerusalem. This week our text has to do with building a house, but not a literal physical house. Rather, the Lord Jesus uses the illustration of two different houses built on two different foundations to warn of the utter folly and danger of neglecting his word, of hearing it but not doing it, not seeking to conform to it. Our text then is found in verses 46 through 49. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Here are two builders and two ways of building compared. Now, anyone that knows anything at all about building knows that a strong, lasting, secure building must begin with a solid, fixed, unmoving foundation, a foundation which will not be moved or heaved up by frost, for instance, and certainly a foundation that will not be undermined by rain or, if at all possible, even flooding. Now, obviously, the Lord is here using an illustration, and illustrations have their limitations, and the best of physical foundations, of physical houses, have their limitations. But the rock this illustration points to is eternally immovable and immutable. Of the two foundations spoken of in our text, the foundation that is the rock here is translated from the Greek Petra, which is a massive, immovable rock. The Lord uses this same word, Petra, when he spoke of himself and faith in him in Matthew 16, the verse 18, and I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, Petros, a little rock or a stone, and upon this rock, Petra, referring to himself as the church's redeemer and head, prophet, priest, and king, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We have also Petra here, and for instance, Romans 9, the verse 33, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And also in 1 Corinthians 10, the verse 4, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. 1 Peter 2, again, Petra, here as well, 7 through 8, unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. What do the two houses stand for in the text before us? The houses stand for the work and walk of faith of the one professing to know Christ Jesus, the one who has professed to have been born again by free grace alone, through faith alone in Christ alone. The house stands for the man or woman's work of faith, if you will, in truth, his or her life as a Christian, with all that's comprehended in that. It goes without saying that how we build that house, that is, how we build by the grace of God and reliance on his effectual power, how we build that house will bear much fruit, good or evil, and have much effect as to our peace and joy and the good of our souls in this life. And if we are a husband or a wife or a parent, Obviously, the person's work of faith has a great effect on their spouse or their children, and in truth, on the whole family or house in that sense as well, without separating the sense from the first personal and primary sense. Now, in our text, one house is built upon a rock. The other is built upon earth. The one stands, the other falls. The stream, even a flood, which beats vehemently against the houses, represents various trials, testings, and tribulations of various sorts, spiritual, but also having to do with the physical and temporal. And of course, for some, even persecutions. And we ought to include also the opportunistic efforts and assaults, some subtle, some far from subtle, of Satan, that roaring lion who walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, it's clear that the rock in our text is the Lord Jesus Christ, but not only his person as Redeemer and Savior, but also, as he puts it in our text, his sayings. There's a great emphasis in this text on his sayings, verses 46 and 47. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. By the things which I say and also my sayings, the Lord speaks of his word, as contained in the inspired, inerrantly preserved scriptures, that is, in the Hebrew Masoretic text and the traditional Greek text, and faithfully translated into our King James Bible. Though that is not to say that the Geneva Bible is not a faithful translation, but it is not so excellent as the King James. Sayings in our text is translated from logos, meaning word. That is here the word of God, the holy scriptures, that is every word in the whole scriptures together, all of the words. The author of the scriptures, that is the one whose word the word is, if you will, is God. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, though it is the Spirit who gave the word to the prophets and the apostles. An immediate, essential, constant, and lasting evidence of a true conversion and regeneration is the sure, unshakable, heartfelt belief and conviction that the Holy Scriptures, are the very words of God. Let me just read to you along that lines. It might be profitable to read to you the Baptist Confession of Faith, chapter 1, paragraph 5, which puts this so well. We may be moved and induced by the testimony of the Church of God to an high and reverent esteem of the Holy Scriptures, and the heavenliness of the matter, the efficacy of the doctrine, and the majesty of the style, the consent of all the parts, the scope of the whole, which is to give all glory to God, the full discovery it makes of the only way of man's salvation, and many other incomparable excellencies and entire perfections thereof, are arguments whereby it doth abundantly evidence itself to be the word of God, yet notwithstanding our full persuasion and assurance of the infallible truth and divine authority thereof is from the inward work of the Holy Spirit bearing witness by and with the word in our hearts. I say an immediate, essential, constant, enduring evidence of conversion, true conversion, regeneration is this sure, unshakable, heartfelt belief and conviction that the Holy Scriptures are the very word and words of God. I remember when I was saved by the Lord, that conviction came to me immediately. I had so much to learn, and there was so much I could not even understand. And yet I knew this is the word of God. There were things that seemed like, how can this be? And yet I never lost that conviction that I never had before. I mean in my heart, that this is the very word of God. Now, in our text, the Lord Jesus speaks of his words, of his sayings, and he first demands an answer to this question. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? There is an obvious application of that question, of course, to the false convert, because we think also of that passage which begins with Matthew 7, 21, it goes on and expands on what it begins with, the words of the Lord. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Now, open, persistent disobedience to the word of God evidences a false conversion and an unregenerate man or woman. And the Apostle John, in his first epistle, verses 3 and 4, declares this by the Spirit, and hereby we do know that we know him, that is, savingly know the Lord Jesus, if we keep his, that is, Christ Jesus, commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. I say open, persistent disobedience to the word of the Lord evidences a false conversion and an unregenerate man. We have this in the scriptures as well. These are the words of Christ Jesus during his ministry on earth, John 14, the verse 24. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. It's obvious that one who has no love for Christ Jesus is an unbeliever. And it's obvious that one that doesn't keep his sayings has no love for him. It's impossible that one who has been justified, washed, and born again by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone as Savior, faith in his obedience and suffering and blood, faith in him as Savior, it's obvious such a one would, of course, love him. It's impossible that such a one would not love him, love the Lord with a heartfelt, speaking, doing, living love. Our text is this, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. When the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. With regard to that text, we must make an application first to the false convert. That is only right. But I believe it's also acceptable and worthwhile and needful to make an application of a somewhat different nature to the Christian. Though he is saved, yet he lives carelessly and does not seek to conform to all that the Scriptures teach. We have before us an illustration in which Christ speaks of one thing having a likeness of another thing. It is acceptable and often profitable to have some liberty with regard to application in such a case, as long as we are scriptural and never novel in that application. The application of our text to the false convert is very obvious, is it not? The house built without a foundation, simply built on the earth, will be in time utterly ruined. The faith professed by the false convert is not a true saving faith in Christ Jesus as Savior and in his blood and in his righteousness. Therefore, it will be shown to be a faith which is no true faith, and the person professing it and professing to have such faith in Christ, but which does not, has a faith which will not stand the test of time, and that faith will come to ruin in the end. But today, I intend to move to this application of the text. The man or woman who is even a true Christian, yet he, that is, he or she then, is careless and neglectful, perhaps even rebellious of heart when it comes to the whole word of the Lord. It's true that such one will never be condemned again, but he may well be only saved as through fire, and in this life he may well see his house to a large degree come to ruin, fall. I do not say fall to utter ruin as to that person's saving faith, but his life, which is so affected by such a compromised faith in so many ways, and his family may well suffer a good deal of ruin If such a one, such a man, such a woman does not mend his ways or her ways and build that work of faith squarely, rightly, fully on the foundation, on the rock, of which I will speak more shortly. Yes, if such a one is in Christ, his faith is in the Lord, and his eternal life is hid and secure with Christ. Christ Jesus is the foundation and the root and the wellspring and the fountain of the man or woman's salvation, everlasting life of body and soul. But as to our Lord's teachings, his sayings, it is possible in these days common for a Christian, for many Christians, to not build their lives, which as Christians are to be a work of faith, fully on that foundation represented as a rock in our passage. And we can all learn from an application of this text. We can all learn. But I say there are some that are just clearly not building on that foundation fully, and that is dangerous. Our text is taken from a sermon Christ Jesus preached on a plane. In the Gospel of Matthew, we have a sermon he preached on a mount, and in which he made the same illustration as our text, but with some different wording. For instance, he says this, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock." And he says this, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand." Certainly it is a foolish, even foolhardy and reckless Christian who neglects some of the words of our Lord, or even a good deal of our Lord's, as he puts it here in our text, and we will explain in a moment more fully, sayings. He also said this, "Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." And also this, "If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." And James, speaking for the Lord by the Spirit, says, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Which brings me to speak more specifically then of this from our text, the meaning of what Christ Jesus called my sayings. I have already mentioned that Christ Jesus, as God himself, the Son of God, and along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, is the author of the Scriptures, Old Testament and New. And so we should, of course, think of the Scriptures, all of the Scriptures, as his sayings. But as we think of the Son of God now, both true man and true God, and as the head of the New Testament church, we would perhaps think first, not only, of course, but first of his teachings in the Gospels, and then his teachings, sayings, his words given by the Holy Spirit to the apostles, in which we have in the epistles of the New Testament, which contain the full light of evangelical truth, including all things pertaining to faith and practice and to life and godliness and to things temporal and things eternal, as children of God and followers of Christ Jesus, as members of his body, the church. These things are there for us to read, to seek to understand, and to conform to, and to build our work of faith by and on. And while there are, we might sum it up, the thou shalt nots, of course, to which the Christian must take heed. Our walk and work of faith does not consist in these alone, in thou shalt nots. In truth, for the Christian, as you study the New Testament, you will see there are many, many more thou shalts. We must not neglect, if you will, the thou shalts. You consider the epistle to the Ephesians, for instance, which we are now studying. After the first couple of chapters, it's just filled with thou shalts, if you will. We could move to the epistle to the two epistles to those in Thessalonica, or the epistle to those in Colossae or Philippi, and so on and so forth. As you move through the New Testament, it is just filled with what I will just simply call thou shalts. Now, let me here say something. I want you to keep this in mind as we continue. The scriptures contain explicit commands and instructions, but we are to keep not just the letter, but the spirit of the scriptures. And then also, as to things not explicitly dealt with, and not perhaps even of the absolute essentials of our faith, we are still to judge such things in light of the general rule of the scriptures relating to such a thing. And then as men and women with renewed minds and consciences, we are to faithfully seek the way of obedience in which honors the Lord and His word. There are many things in life that are not specifically mentioned, but they fall under a rule of Scripture. And so we're to study the Scriptures. And then I say, if we're a Christian, we have a renewed mind. We have a renewed conscience. And then we seek to apply the Scriptures right across the board to everything, whether it's something spiritual or whether it's something just having to do with our duties and our walk in this life. Temporal things even. Now, verses 46 and 47, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like." Now, before we go any further, we must consider then, even with regard to the New Testament, we ought to stop and consider the breadth and length and depth and height of the sayings Jesus is speaking of, in which he refers to as the sure, steadfast, unshakable, unmovable foundation upon which we are to build our work of faith as Christians, and which if we neglect in any part, let alone in many parts, including the thou shalt, if you will, we will suffer loss, perhaps even great loss and temporal catastrophe maybe, including even in our families because of our negligence and our disobedience. Regarding the walk and work of our faith, it's evident that it's not enough. It's not enough to build partly on the foundation of Christ, of the words of Christ, of the words of Christ, of the sayings of Christ, on the scriptures then, this building of this house. We must build fully on and faithfully on that foundation. We cannot neglect some of the sayings he's speaking of here. Now, none of us is perfect. All of us have failings from time to time. Even so, that is not the same as to just neglect, to gloss over, to not seek to conform to all, not just some of the Lord's sayings, any of his word. That's a whole nother thing. Now first, as to the word of the Lord, we should stress those things having to do directly with our spiritual man, spiritual things and the purity of Christ's church. These are of utmost importance. We're talking about those who are saved, yes, and yet it's just of utmost importance to tend to and seek to conform to the word of the Lord with regard to those sayings, the sayings of the Lord, my sayings, Christ calls his word, those things pertaining to our spiritual man and spiritual things and the purity of Christ's church. Sound doctrine, sincerely and spiritually and consistently and humbly attending also to all the means of grace and a right worship and a right spiritual keeping of the Christian Sabbath, to go on, continue to name some things relative to our spiritual man, also having a sound practice. I say our practice as Christians, not just what we believe, but our practice right across the board, including a right scriptural separation from all persons and things we're to separate from, is essential if we would build fully on the rock of Christ. I have also spoken many, many times of the duties of ministers. I have spoken many times and very strongly about the duties of ministers. They cannot neglect any of their duties as shown in the Word of God. The very sayings of the head of the church, the chief shepherd. But not to be neglected is the duties of the Lord's people, those who have a faithful minister, including this, which speaks of the duties of minister and people. Hebrews 13, verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you, that is under Christ. Obey them then, taking heed to their teaching, reproving, rebuking, instruction, exhortation, counsel, insofar as all is scriptural, not ignoring them in various ways, and submit yourself, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. None who have never been a minister trying to do the best they can, not just for the Lord, but for the people, the flock given into their charge, can understand fully what that means, and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. What also of all that the New Testament teaches concerning our duties to the Lord's body, the church, and our relationship with, concern for, and duties to our brethren? What of our duty to maintain good works? What of what the scriptures tell us of being built up in faith and hope and love and seeking to be fruitful in the service of the Lord and to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit more and more? What of being built up in wisdom and knowledge and discernment? What of even things such as rejoice in the Lord always and be ye thankful? And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. I just mentioned a few things to show the breadth and the width, the height and the depth of these sayings, as Jesus puts it, of his. What of the proper roles and duties of men and women in the church and ministry and family, of course, but even in society and in the government and in the military as well? We Christians ought to have a right understanding of those things and seek to conform to them. That's being lost, being ignored. Also, as to the sayings of Jesus, what of all that the scriptures teach concerning husbands and wives, fathers and mothers and children? And I mean all that the scriptures teach. For instance, when it comes to the husband, father, as head of the wife and the family, as well as the protector and provider, and the wife and mother, also all that's taught there right across the board with both, even with regard to practical matters. But for instance, I'm not saying this is just a practical matter, but I say right across the board in all instances. But what does it mean for a husband to love his wife as Christ loved the church? Is that just a feeling he has in his heart? Or is that expressed in other ways as well? Does it show in his care and nurture of her, his protection of her, his concern for her spiritually, emotionally, in every way? What does it mean for a father to bring up his children and nurture and admonition of the Lord? See, these are some of the things that we look at them and we realize, okay, here, this says this. This is a general rule. What does that mean fully? As we take the scriptures, we study them, and we make a right application, and as those with renewed minds and consciences, how does the word of the Lord, how are we faithfully conforming to it right across the board? What does it mean for a wife to obey her husband? And also to be a true keeper at home, the sense is a good housekeeper and running an orderly household and rightly attending to those things which are needful for the good spiritual and temporal of husband and children. And what of all the scriptures concerning all the sayings of Jesus concerning our Christian character? What about our conversation and our interaction and dealings with not only Christians, but those in the world, including at work and our business dealings and just everyday interaction? What about that? What do the scriptures teach? There is just so much, and I've only scratched the surface, concerning what Jesus calls his sayings. But it should not be necessary to attempt to be exhaustive. And we certainly don't have the time. I don't know when we'd ever finish that task to be exhaustive as to the sayings of Jesus. That is concerning his word and, yes, of course, the whole of scriptures. But we think especially the gospels and the epistles, which are so detailed and clear with regard to the safe, sure foundation on which we must build our evangelical work of faith. Now, verses 47 and 48. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Here our Lord declares the essential need and the great blessing of building our house, our faith, our walk of faith, our work of faith, our lives, even as Christians, upon the rock, which is not only faith in Christ as our Savior, but a humble, sincere, faithful obedience to all of his sayings. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. This man, in building his house, not only digged down, but he digged down deep. He removed all the earth and got right down to the rock, and he built on that. The wise and obedient Christian will seek to build his faith, his Christian life, this work of faith on the rock that is Christ alone, on his word, and squarely, fully on his word. Not in part. He will remove all of the earth of compromise and all neglect in his building on the foundation, all neglect of the sayings of Jesus. Going on, when the flood arose, stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. When trials, spiritual and otherwise, when temptations, when assaults by Satan come the way of such a one who does this, which Jesus is teaching, with all that it comprehends, those who seek to conform to the word of the Lord, not just in part, but in whole, his house will not fall because it's built upon a rock. His work of faith will stand firm through the flood because he's built upon the rock. There is a promise here from the Lord. None of us in this flesh are yet perfected, and we're very aware of our weaknesses. Lord, help us to be ever stronger. Yet if we will sincerely, consistently seek to conform ourselves to the whole word of the Lord, not just the thou shalt nots, but the thou shalts, conform ourselves to the word of the Lord in all things, then our house will be safe in the storms of life, even when the floodwaters beat vehemently and the house is sorely tested. Verse 49, but he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. That house, it stood through many things, maybe. But when the stream beat vehemently, then it fell. I earlier said the first application of this text in front of us is to the false convert, the one who professes Christ, but he's not in Christ. But I, in this message, have moved on to make a second application to the rebellious of heart Christian who persistently neglects the right and full application of the word of the Lord, not in whole, but certainly in part, and sometimes in large part. This person is on the road to grief and loss, perhaps even disaster to one degree or another, personally, or even if a father or mother, as to his or her family, which are so affected by his or her negligent, careless work of faith. We have seen the near ruin of more than one such house, if you will, over the years. It's a fearful thing. It's a terrible thing. I fear there are many Christians today who, when it comes to the word of the Lord and the application of all of that word, they are much like Israel of old. Deuteronomy 32, the verse 15, but Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Or those Job spoke of. Job 12, the verse 2, no doubt, but ye are the people, and wisdom shall die with you. Unteachable, unreachable, and in the end, there's a fall, and there's sorrow, and there's loss, and it's grievous. So let all of us take care that we're building rightly and fully on the foundation, the right foundation, rightly and fully on the right foundation, the rock of Christ and His Word. We do not want to be as those that the apostle spoke of, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12. Here he was speaking of false apostles who thought they were so very wise because they compared themselves to others in their group, other of the same nature. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. We have to take care, make a right comparison. We certainly do not want to look at those who may be so openly negligent of the Word of God and then somehow feel smug and secure if we are also negligent of the Word of God, perhaps not to the same degree. Because in the end, we would be on the same road as them, because our negligence will only increase in the end, and it will come to grief. We will come to grief. We will come to loss. We have need, then, to take to heart both the warning and the promise of our text today, submitting ourselves fully to the word of the Lord and availing ourselves of the grace and effectual power of the Lord, even as we continue on with this building of this work of faith. And Jesus said, Mark 4, the verses 23 and 25, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Amen.